Take your Bibles out tonight, if you would, and turn to Proverbs chapter 3. I want to thank Pastor for allowing me to speak in your pulpit this evening. I don't take that lightly. I'm very guarded and jealous over our pulpit, who speaks and what they say, and so I count it a privilege and an honor to be here tonight. Proverbs chapter 3, also want to say this, Pastor, your church is an answer to prayer. Kimberly is my youngest. We have 7 children, 4 daughters and 3 boys. Love all of my children dearly, but Kimberly's always been a daddy's girl. In fact, her email address is daddy's little angel. Now, by the way, I didn't necessarily agree to that, but she is a daddy's girl, no question about it. And fella from New Mexico starts contacting my daughter, and they're spending time and things like that. And every parent who's got a married child knows this, that you know when the right one comes along. And I knew that what was coming down the road, and let me say this, I couldn't think of a bigger blessing and a better son-in-law than Michael Gonzalez. He is a blessing to my wife and I. I love the way he takes care of our daughter. But then this is all leading to where we're going with our message tonight. But then there's a matter of, he's in New Mexico, and I want my children in a good church. And then God moves them over here within just a couple minutes of Valley Bible Baptist Church. And by the way, I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in divine providence. Amen? Amen. And so I am especially thankful for this church, thankful that Kimberly and Mike attend here. And then this is only the second time now. Got to see my little grandson today, Ezra. What a blessing to see him. And I'm a little partial, but I think he looks just like Grandpa. So I'm going to speak tonight. Kyle's here tonight. He's Kimmy's twin, so he's my youngest son. I've got 3 boys. One of my sons is a song leader at our church. One of them is the assistant pastor. And Kyle is the most mild-mannered, nicest guy you'll ever meet, but he's in charge of security in our church. Kyle's a black belt in martial arts. But he's got the right temperament to work with people, amen? My song leader son's also a black belt, and he would not do well as security in our church. He's got 2 modes. It's either all one way or all the other way, and Kyle's very, very good with working with people and things. And by the way, it's sad that we live in a day when we have to have security in our churches, but it's wise that we do, amen? I would be remiss if I didn't mention this. Kyle is single still. How many would simply say this tonight? I will be praying for Kyle that God will send the right one to him. Can I see your hand? Would you pray with me about that? Amen. Amen. I want to read to you tonight Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. But before we get there, I just want to say this. I'm amazed, Pastor, that over the last couple years, but still going on today, I talk to pastors every week, and they're telling me that our church is still trying to spiritually recover from COVID. And I would agree with that completely. Our church, Sunrise Baptist Church up in Oakley, Kansas, it's the same thing. We never broadcasted online before until COVID, and we started in March, and I don't know if it must have been 2020, from March until Mother's Day, we only broadcast online, and folks needed to stay home and watch online, and then we went back on until the fall, And then we had to go offline again. It was mandated by the state. And we did again for a couple months. And then I got special permission from the state for our church. And this was all amazing what God did. But I wrote a letter, and our governor is not necessarily the Christian's friend. And but they approved for our church, because of the rural location where we were and the size of our church and the size of our building, that we could socially distance and have church and things like that. But here's what I found, and I hear this from pastors all the time. Hey, pastor, don't think we're going to make it to church tonight, so go ahead and send me a link. Now, it's a blessing what technology can do. Because there are folks that are sick. My, last night, we have our midweek service on Tuesday night, because I'm also a chaplain out at the Olympic Training Center, and Wednesdays through Fridays, sometimes I travel doing chaplain work, and so we have our midweek service on Tuesday night. You would not believe the number of our folks that were gone that were sick last night. But then there were some, and I think this is happening everywhere. I have a pastor friend, and it's a mutual acquaintance of your pastor and myself, who has told me this, and they have a rather large church, but he said, Brother Braun, that we have as many as 150 to 200 people who have never come back from COVID. By the way, they're tuning in, but they said it's much easier to stay home than it is to come to church. And by the way, nowhere in the Bible to tell you and I to stay home and watch it online as opposed to coming to church. Now, we have some folks that watch our services, one that has a terminal illness, and it's a blessing that they're able to watch online, and technology is wonderful for that. But because we don't feel like getting dressed up is not a reason not to come to church. Because we don't feel like coming out. The importance of meeting in the local church. Now, I'm saying all that because I wanted to get to this. During COVID, I wasn't able to travel as much as I do for chaplain work and things. And for a little while, I was like other pastors and other church folks in that I was very down about the situation and complained about the situation. And then the Lord just impressed upon me to spend this extra time improving yourself, studying, getting closer to me. And God challenged my heart to do a series of studies, and I titled them, this was all for myself, called Wisdom from the Word. Not necessarily commands from God, but things that it would be wise if we would do those things. By the way, I wrestled for years. I've competed in martial arts. I've done a lot of competition and things. And working with athletes, there are some things that are wise to do and some things that aren't very wise. And a lot of times it means difference between winning and losing. And it's the same thing in the Christian life. There are some things that if we were wise, we would do these things. And by the way, when I understood that the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom, not necessarily commands, but it would be wise if we do some things. One of those messages that the Lord, and by the way, I developed, I don't know, 26, 28 different messages that they were just for me. And your preacher had asked a couple weeks ago when I was going to be in town if I wanted to preach, but just this weekend, the Lord put this Bible study that I did on my heart, and I began to look at it, things that I had studied and believe this is the message for tonight. By the way, you can turn anywhere in the Bible. It's good to preach those things. But boy, I want to preach the message that God has for you and I tonight. Amen. So I'm going to preach wisdom from the Word, and I'm going to preach verses 5 and 6. It's not the only place we'll be in the Bible tonight. This is a Bible study. But let's look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I'll announce the title, we'll pray, and then we'll jump right into our message tonight. Very famous verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, this is a study that God gave me to do. And so I ran a lot of verses, looked up a lot of verses. And I found that the word trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The word trust or trusteth is found 151 times in our King James Bibles. The phrase trust in the Lord is mentioned 19 times in the Bible. Now, God only has to say something one time for it to be important for you and I. But something that's used that often, it becomes very clear to us, folks, that God wants his children to trust him. Now, here's what I find interesting about this. I believe, and I shook a lot of hands tonight. I've been here one other time before. I believe that most everybody in here is trusting the Lord to some degree. But because of who we are, God said, trust in the Lord. That should have been enough. I need to put my trust in God. But then it says after that, with all thine heart. Now, why do you suppose God had to add that? Because we trust God some or for some things. I don't know about you, but it's my nature to live by sight and not by faith. And so God had to tell me, with all thine heart, don't just trust me with all your heart. Now, if that hadn't have been enough, then he said, and lean not into thine own understanding. And the best way I can illustrate this, verse number 5, is this. I have people tell me all the time, and by the way, listen, the older you are, the more we do this. Pastor Braun, I know that the Bible says we're supposed to trust the Lord, but in my experience, or we might say it this way, Pastor Braun, I know what the Bible says, but come on, this is difficult, or these are hard times we're living in, or we're talking about my baby girl here. Trusting the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. You say, Pastor Braun, is it possible to trust the Lord some, but not completely? You bet it is. Is it possible to trust God in some things, but not in everything? I believe that's where most of us live. It's my hope tonight, I'm preaching a message called Trust in the Lord, is that we will understand that although we have some trust, if you're saved here tonight, you have trusted Christ. But remember, Colossians chapter 2 tells us that the same way that we get saved is the same way we're supposed to live the Christian life, and that's by faith. That's by trusting the Lord. But the best way to illustrate this, and everybody knows what I'm about to say, on our money here in the United States, it says, in God we trust. But you know what? I don't think as a nation that we fully trust God. Maybe to a degree, maybe a little bit. It's coming around election time, coming November. Hear all kinds of politicians invoke the Lord's name in any way. I've heard our current president say, God willing, several times, and yet follows a platform that's completely anti-God. And I would have to say that I don't think there's much trust there. Let's pray tonight. And then we'll get going on this thought. It's my hope, it's my prayer that you and I will understand when we're done tonight what it means to completely trust God. And it would be our goal. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you tonight for the privilege of standing in this pulpit here at Valley Bible Baptist Church. Now, Father, I know you have a message for us, and I pray that you'd remove every distraction, that you'd help us to give you our undivided attention. Father, help us to see how much we need this message tonight. And Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Teach us from your word, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Your pastor talked about a mutual acquaintance that we have. He and I went to college together. We wrestled together. He was an all-state football player in Texas. Joey Crenshaw is his name. He pastors down in Waco, Texas. Brother Crenshaw has preached in our church several times, and you know, he did something that I learned from him. He'd begin by introducing his message, and then he would say something like this, I believe that we need this message, but I think some of us don't think we need this message. He said, let me give you a little test. And I've done this a few times in our church, effectively, and I want to give you a test tonight. By the way, you don't even have time to study. Had we known there's going to be a test, I'd have done some studying. I want to give you a test on trust tonight. Because here's what happens, Pastor. Folks will say, I don't need this message. I'm trusting God. I know I'm going to heaven. We're trusting God. I mean, we're living in difficult times, but we tithe and we leave gospel tracts we pray and we have devotions and amen. All those things are terrific. But are we completely trusting the Lord? Let me give you a 10-question test tonight and see. And by the way, I took this test months ago. I took it again in preparation for this message for you, and I failed both times. Why would we do this tonight? Because I want you and I to see that we need this message tonight. Boy, if there's ever a time that we need to trust God completely, it's right now. Amen. So let me ask you tonight. Number one, where do you turn first when you have a financial problem? If it's anywhere beside the Lord, we have trust issues. Secondly, tonight, when you're sick, do you pray before doing anything else? Thirdly, tonight, do I understand that God is in control even when the unexpected happens? Number four, do I acknowledge God in everything? Number five, do my actions reflect a reliance upon God? Number six, do I worry and complain about people and problems? Number seven, do I daily think and pray about the Lord coming again? You know, there's a lot more folks that are counting on a November election than on Christ coming back again. My folks, if there's ever a time when you and I ought to see, you know, I used to say for years, Pastor, that I believe that we're getting ready to enter the last days. I don't say that anymore. I believe we are in the last days. This noble entering, and I think we're accelerating towards the Lord's return. And my, there are some times with things going on, and I hear about things going on, when I simply can't do anything but pray and say, Lord, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. Number eight, do I point people to Jesus in the midst of their hardships? Number nine, does prosperity cause me to forget who blessed me? And number 10, do I give God the glory, whether it's on the mountaintop or in the valleys? By the way, I'm not going to have you give me a score, but I already know the answer, folks. It's our nature to walk by sight and not by faith. And all of us need to trust the Lord more. By the way, the people that we admire most in Scripture are the ones that trusted God the most. Think about Abraham. Think about Moses. Think about Ruth. Think about David. Think about Hezekiah. Think about Job. Think about the three Hebrew children. Think about Daniel. By the way, think about this logically for a moment. It does not make sense to me why we wouldn't trust the Lord. Now, by the way, in my study, Pastor, interestingly, I found basically that there's three different places that people put their trust. Some people put it in their own material goods. Some people put it in themselves or others. And some people place it in God. But you know what we find out? When we rely on our own material wealth and things, it's never enough and it's soon spent. When we rely on other people, they always, in the long run, prove to be unreliable. When we place our trust in ourselves, and boy, I hear this so much from people, we realize that we fall woefully short. Why not trust the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, immortal, indestructible, sovereign God who never lets us down, who's in control of all things, and he tells us he'll never leave us nor forsake us. God has the answer to every question and the solution to every problem, but we must be willing to trust him. Now then, we're going to look at everything we talk about tonight's going to be about completely trusting the Lord, but let's define our terms tonight. The Webster's Dictionary, that's linked to the King James Bible, gives us this definition for the word trust. It means a reliance or resting of the mind on the integrity, veracity, justice, friendship of another. By the way, I can't think of any person that I would place that kind of rest or trust in except the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible definition of that word trust, it means to hide for refuge. It's a confidence or to be sure. You know, I'm amazed at athletes. A competition's coming up, and I work with some of these athletes that are world champions and Olympic gold medalists and things like this, and they make say, I'll guarantee you on Saturday night when I get out there, I'm going to do this and this and this. And you know, they can't guarantee that. I have confidence that when I get out on the mat with them or I get in the ring with them, and they can't have confidence in that. To trust, it means to have confidence in or be relying completely on or resting in. It's a surety of. And there's only one, and that's God. Now then, we're getting to the main part of our message, but I want to share this with you. Here's the amazing thing. The Bible tells us we need to trust the Lord, and Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us we need to trust him completely, but let me say this. Here's what's amazing thing about God. It's wise for us to trust God, but God rewards us for doing what's wise for us to do. And preacher, in my study, I found 6 things that the book of Proverbs says that God rewards us for if we'll trust him. Don't miss this. So if I will put my trust in God, which is just a wise decision, we've already decided putting it in wealth is not helpful. To put it in man is woefully inadequate. But we put it in God, which is the wise decision. Then God says, I'm going to reward you for that. What does God do for you and I if we trust him? Number one, he gives us direction. We read that, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. My, today, in the days we live in, we need direction from God. You know how we get that? By trusting God. Ever been at a crossroads? I mean, I don't know if I should go to the left or go to the right, and I don't mean literally a crossroads. I'm talking about spiritually in our lives. What do I do at this time? When we trust God, he gives us direction. Secondly, Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 20, God gives you and I happiness when we trust him. He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Now, I just got done teaching on our midweek Bible studies in our church about the difference between joy and happiness. And happiness is created by our circumstances, where joy and rejoicing, despite our circumstances, we can be happy in the Lord. But this word is happiness. Do you know what that means? That when I trust God, he's going to give me favorable circumstances. That's pretty nice. When I learn to completely trust the Lord, he's going to give me favorable circumstances. See, Pastor Brown, I trusted the Lord, and this doesn't seem very favorable to me, what's going on. That's why Romans 8:28 is in the Bible. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That God knows better than we do, has a plan for us, and God has our best interest, has the best interest of the situation and our circumstances in mind. We said God gives us direction, God gives us happiness. Thirdly, God gives us understanding. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 17 through 19, and I'll not read them all for time's sake, but listen. That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this daily, even to thee. You know, there's all kinds of things going on, and I don't understand why that's happening. I've got a friend. I pastored him in Georgia. He's about my age. He came from an athletic background, big, strapping, southern fella. I pastored him for a while, and I have been pastoring up in Oakley for quite some time now, but he contacted me not too long ago and told me that he got an unfavorable health situation. His wife just contacted me in the last couple of days, and they told me that he was sent home under hospice care. There's nothing they can do for him. He's about my age. By the way, you don't have to tell him. He's trusting God, and God has given him an understanding of his situation. My folks, when difficulties come up, when problems come, when we trust God, God gives us an understanding. What a blessing to know that God's in charge. Let me give you a fourth thing that the Bible says. Satisfaction. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Now, by the way, that doesn't sound so good, but that word fat means to be filled, to have all you want. It means to be satisfied. And you know what? Sometimes it's not that God gives us our heart's desires, but that God makes us satisfied with what he's given us. And that's the key to everything right there. You know, there's some people, no matter what they have, are never satisfied. I had the opportunity, and don't have the time to tell the story, but I had the opportunity to meet Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett at one time was the richest man in America. He's still alive, and he's second or third, but he still has a lot of money. But you know what they asked Warren Buffett? Which $1 million was the most important he ever made? He's a billionaire. He said the next one. The next million. Satisfaction. See, you can have all kinds of things and not be satisfied. Some of the most satisfied people are the ones that God has taught them to make do with what they have. When our wants and needs are equal to each other, we're satisfied. When we trust God, he gives us that satisfaction. Number five, from the book of Proverbs, safety. Whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. When I learn to put my trust in God completely, God promises safety. And number six, lastly, Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 5, he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 5, a shield is used for our protection. By the way, 5 and 6, mom and dads, when we're talking about our children, by the way, I remember when they were young, and I want to say worried about them, but trusting the Lord, but praying over our children. We had 7 children between the ages of 1 and 7, 2 sets of twins. Everywhere we'd go, people's mouths would open when we'd walk by. And then we would have folks come up to us, usually older folks come up. They'd come up to me and say, hey, why don't you leave her alone for a little while? 7 children. You know what? As they get older, and every parent who's got children who are high school age, college age, out of the home, are married, to know by trusting God that God will give them safety and protection, that's a peace that we can't get anywhere else. Very, very quickly, What happens when we trust in our material? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28 says, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall. What happens when we trust in ourselves? Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26 says, he that trusteth his own heart is a fool. Our only good choice is to trust the Lord, and then God gives us several things, blesses us with several things for trusting him. Now, I want you to turn your Bibles over to 2 Kings chapter 18, and here's where we're going to finish tonight. 2 Kings chapter 18. Pastor McMath, the best illustrations I've found come directly from the Bible. And here's my hope tonight. I'm going to share a Bible story with you. Probably all of us have read it. But I'm not going to read it. I'd have to read you two chapters tonight, and we'd be here till 11 o'clock tonight. And if I could teach everything I wanted to teach that I've learned from these two chapters, we might be here past midnight. I want to allude to this story, and it's my prayer. It was my prayer before I came tonight that you'd be interested enough in this story that you'd go home and read it by yourself, the details, after we talk about it. And you'd let God show you and help you to glean the truths from this. 2 Kings chapter 18 tells the story of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. The Bible says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. In the 14th year of his reign, King Sennacherib of Assyria, the largest army in the world, most powerful army in the world, came up with a great host to take Judah captive. By the way, they went to the weakest part of Judah, the northern side that was wide open, and they stood outside the doors ready to attack the largest army in the world. One of the generals of the Assyrian army, Rabshakeh, is going to confront the men of Israel, confront Hezekiah. Now, from chapter 18 and chapter 19, I want to give you four truths from here. And if God puts it on your heart to go back and read these chapters, and if you and I could glean the trust that Hezekiah had, and see it in somebody who wasn't perfect. We know Hezekiah was a sinner just like you and I, but a man who trusted the Lord, and he learned to trust God completely. My, what it could do for our trust in the Lord. I've got four things I want to share with you, and I'm going to read you some Bible verses from here, but you go back and read the story yourself. Here's what I learned from the life of Hezekiah, 2 Kings chapter 18 and chapter 19. Number one, when you trust the Lord, your trust will be tested. Look at 2 Kings chapter 18 and look at verses 19 and 20. 2 Kings 18, look at verses 19 and 20. And Rabshakeh said unto them, these are the men that were on the wall, the soldiers of Israel, speak ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trusteth? Thou sayest, but they are but vain words, I have counsel and strength for the war, but now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? When you and I decide to trust God. It's my prayer tonight that some of us will make decisions that I need to increase my faith. I need to trust God even more. It's going to be tested. Somebody's going to say to you, who do you think you are stepping out on faith like that? That you would go against the Assyrian king. That you would go against Sennacherib. When you trust God, your trust will be tested. Secondly, your trust in God, listen to me now, when you and I put complete faith in God, it's going to be unexpected, even amongst God's people. Boy, I don't know if that's too smart. Years ago, an evangelist by the name of Tom Williams stepped out on faith after tragedy in his family, and he said, and he believed that God told him some things that he ought to be doing, and he said, I don't recommend anybody else do this, but God told me to do these things, talking about not having insurance on his wife and his family after his wife had a severe illness. Evangelist Tom Williams said that everywhere he went, he had preachers saying, "Brother, you're doing something stupid." Since when is trusting God completely stupid? But even amongst people of faith, when we completely trust God, it's going to be unexpected. Look at chapter 18, verses 21 through 25. "Now behold, thou trustest..." Okay, so in verse number 20, and this is a lost man who didn't understand, said, "You guys are putting your trust in another army, Egypt." Verse 21, he said, "Now behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, on which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, unto all that trust in him." He thought that they were placing their trust in Egypt. Didn't understand trusting God. By the way, in the Bible, Egypt is always a picture of what? The world. That's how people think that we ought to be trusting the world. We ought to be trusting the government. We ought to be trusting men. That's the world. Let's keep reading. "But if ye say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away and has said to Judah and Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem? Now therefore, I pray thee, give pledges to my lord, the king of Assyria, and I will deliver thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on their part to set riders upon them. How then will thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen?" By the way, here's what he thought, and here's what other people think. You're putting your faith in a religion. Religion can do nothing for you. And all God's people would say, that's true. But you don't know the living God. See, we're not trusting in a church. We're not trusting in a religion. We're trusting in the living God. That's the difference. We don't talk about religion. We talk about a relationship with God. Your trust will be unexpected by others. Number three tonight. And I've already alluded to this, but your trust is going to be discouraged by others. Oh my, you can't do that. Oh, wow, no, you shouldn't do that. Look at 2 Kings 18, beginning in verse number 28. "Then Rabshakeh," he's the general of Assyria, "stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and spake, saying, Hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, Let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, The Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria." Discouraged to trust God completely. Now, I've got one other thing, and everything I said was true, but it all culminates in 2 Kings 19. Don't miss this. Trust is proven by where we go when we're in trouble. We can talk all we want. By the way, it was 12 years ago today that my dad passed away. But here's what I've always said. My dad is still often quoted. I'm thankful that in my dad's last 10 years, he lived as a Christian. I had the privilege of leading to the Lord. But one of the things that my dad used to say all the time is talk is cheap. You really find out about somebody by what they do. Trust is proven by where we go when we're in trouble. Look at 2 Kings chapter 19 and look at verse number 1. "And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord." You know, when trouble comes, folks, where we ought to be? In church. My, pastor, I've been pastoring for several decades, and I can't tell you the number of times that folks have said to me, "Pastor Braun, we've been going through a hard time, and boy, I just don't feel like coming to church this morning." My, you know, folks, when we need to be in church the most is when we don't feel like being there. What did Hezekiah do? What he heard it? They wrote him a letter. They told him what they were going to do. You know what Hezekiah did? He went to the house of God. He went to church. Look what else he did. Look at verses 2 through 5. And he said, Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. Hezekiah went to the house of the Lord. Secondly, Hezekiah went to the man of God. My, God has given you folks a man of God here at Valley Bible Baptist Church. Folks, I've been around the nation, and you ought to thank God for the man of God that he's given you here. Folks, hundreds of churches all over America are looking for pastors. Pastor, how long have you been here? Years ago, I was at a pastor's conference, and there were thousands of pastors there. And listen, they said, all you fellas been in the ministry at least 5 years, would you stand up? Oh my, thousands stood up. All you fellas been in 10 years. You haven't been in 10 years, sit down, a few sat down. Got to 15, got to 20, got to 30 years, got up to 30 years. And listen, of the several thousand pastors that were there, there were five still standing. And then they asked, how many have been in the same work for that long? And four of them sat down. One pastor of several thousand had been in the same work. Several had been in the ministry and were still in the ministry over 30 years, but only one had been at the same church in the same work. Now, it wasn't your pastor. Your pastor wasn't there, and he hadn't been there at that time, but I'm telling you, it's a rarity. I was pastoring another state, and a couple and their parents were in the church, but they said, told mom and dad, we got ourselves in some trouble financially. And then they said this, but please don't tell Pastor Braun, because we'd be embarrassed and we just feel like it would ruin our relationship with the pastor. Folks, I'm not a potted plant. I'm not just a doorknob. God put me there to help people, to work with people. And you know what we find? All of us have fallen short somewhere. When we have things go wrong, when we have circumstances, difficulties, problems, the first place you ought to go is to your man of God. Hezekiah went to the house of God, went to the man of God. And then look at verse number 14. 2 Kings 19. Verse number 14. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord. Our point was, your trust is proven by what you do when there's trouble. He went to the house of God. He went to the man of God. And then he went to the throne of God in prayer. There's a man who was trusting God. Now, by the way, remember how this story ends? Rabshakeh, he said, you're not going to beat Assyria. You're not going to beat us in any way. Look down at verse number 35. Verse number 35. After God gave the promise. Now, several verses talk about the promise that God gave. I'm just going to read verse number 35. And it came to pass that night. God made a promise that night that the angel of the Lord. Now, listen, it doesn't say an archangel. This wasn't Michael. This was an unnamed angel of the Lord. Went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. That's 185,000 soldiers by a typical angel of the Lord. Now, here's my favorite part of this. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. I love that. Woke up, I'm dead. 185,000 of us are dead. And the Assyrian army fled, and their king was assassinated. Do you know how all of this happened? Because of a king who learned to trust God completely. Now, you say, Pastor Braun, the very next chapter, Hezekiah, God's going to give Hezekiah 15 more years, and Hezekiah's going to let God down. You know what that tells me more than anything else, though, folks, that Hezekiah was human? That ought to give you and I confidence that I can trust the Lord completely. If I can learn from the mistakes of Hezekiah and others like him, and I can learn to trust the Lord like he did, but then not make the slip-ups that he did, my, what God could do with us. Folks, the times we live in, if there's ever a time we needed to trust the Lord, it's now, not just a little bit, with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. Let's stop there tonight and let's stand.